Welcome to Christ Today. Life is so very good. Sometimes we think so much about gaining material wealth that we forget to thank God for all the blessings that we have. All the blessings, both great and small. Thank you, Lord, for all that we have and enjoy. How we love you, Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen. We're very thankful for the tradition of freedom in America that we enjoy. A part of life is to understand what is true and make life decisions based on true reality. Our world is changing with artificial intelligence and technology, and our reality is being muddled with AI and people and organizations that can present video and audio recordings that are really fake, but they look so real. That's one of the things that happens nowadays. Well, what is real and what is fake? Sometime we just need God to help us determine that truth. And sometimes the people close to us or far away will lie about this or that. And we have to develop discernment. Yes, we have logic to understand a person's words and actions, but sometimes we just need godly discernment and guidance. So Lord, guide us, please, in Jesus' name, and amen. And do that according to God's will, we pray. In life, we have people and spirits that want to manipulate us. They want to steal, kill, and destroy us, just like the devil wants to do. And we have these things going on today. One of the things I'm going to talk about is the U.S. patent for a vaccine. And that is going to involve deception, too, and what we can understand about it. We have to learn. We have to understand what goes on with science and education and, of course, with God and our life and how we interact with conditions and people around us. There is plenty of strife around us and strife in the world where people and even their basic needs are not met, and that makes people very unhappy. The lives of people are so very different from place to place. Now, here in the United States, we have so much wonderful life, but if we look at the countries where there are difficulties, there really are difficulties. I'm thinking of Venezuela, where a few years ago, they had an economic hardship, and it happened that all the cats and dogs disappeared because people ate them. And then there was a very nice zoo, and all the animals in the zoo disappeared as well because people were hungry. Nowadays in France, there are people unhappy because of the retirement age was changed from 62 to 64. And so they are rioting and protesting and burning cars and shooting. And at one point, the zoo animals in France got set free. So there were lions and tigers and bears and elephants just going through the streets as the cars burned. That was really happening. So if it can happen in the cities around Paris, you know it can happen anywhere else. There's troubles in the world. And in Germany, without the Russian natural gas, there are people who are collecting wood to burn for heat. And it was almost 10% of the people in Germany that burned wood to stay warm. And now nobody can find wood to burn. That happens in the countries where there are difficulties, maybe not getting Russian gas, or or whatever shortages there are. In England, there are shortages of electricity and natural gas, and right now it is estimated that 70% of the restaurants in England are set to close by the end of the year because of the high price of electricity. When electric bills are expected to double or triple, the world is having problems. And even Russia, they have some natural gas that they export, but they are having troubles also. There is a National Guard in Russia, and they have been given military equipment in case there is domestic violence. And in the United States, what do we hear here? We have heard rumors of a second civil war. It's not that I think it will happen, but I sure know it can, especially with all the threats of violence that are going on in the world. And they are going on all sorts of places. And I think of South Africa, the Republic of South Africa, where there are... Here, I just looked this up. Okay, there's 70 murders every day in South Africa. And at least 140 rapes every day in the Republic of South Africa. Well, there's a lot of violence there and a lot of violence in the world. And we have to understand that in America, we really have things very good. But there's lots of people who are expecting the economy to crash. Well, it sure could. It sure could. But we can do some things to be protective of our situation. And, more and more people are doing that because they're getting concerned about what would happen if the economy either fails or collapses or something. And one of the things about America collapsing is because America is disregarding the rules of God. And therefore, we call for God to bless America, but when we're not following his rules, what do you think will happen? Oh boy, there's a lot of opinions out there, and a whole lot of people are concerned, even about the basics, like food. And so many people are saying we must get food because there are going to be shortages within the supply system, and our crops are not coming in like they were expected. And that reminds me of the couple of volcanoes that there were in the 1800s. There was Mount Tambora and Krakatoa. And both of them had eruptions that put so much ash into the atmosphere that it cooled the earth a couple of degrees, and it made snow and freezing weather happen in the surprising places of the world. On the east coast of America, there were lots of freezes. In London, there were freezes, and I mean in the summertime. So things that people didn't expect happened. And from those two big volcanoes, there were quite a lot of people who starved around the world. Will it happen here? That, I don't know, but I know it could happen. And that's what I like to just remind everybody, that things can happen that we do not expect. It's the way it has always been. Things happen that we don't expect. And a lot of grains are not being exported. Or in the case of Russia, they're having trouble in Ukraine. And there was just a Russian ship, that was crossing that Black Sea. And they were, in a sense, they were bombed. You can call it like that. And that ship had 60 tons of grain on it. And those 60 tons of grain, you know, like wheat and beans, they were lost to the world. It would have been exported. But it's another sign that there could be food shortages coming. Now, in a way, 60 tons is a whole lot of grain. But on the other hand, there is Ukraine that had a thousand tons of grain to export. But 1,000 tons of grain is not going to be exported this year. And so a lot of countries are expecting, well, in effect, it's famine. In effect, it's hunger. And that's something that is going on in the world today. Now, we have people in this country, you know, in our government, like, oh, the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, and he is saying that we ought to prepare for war with China. And then there's that other guy, let me think. What the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Milley, and he is explaining how 60% of our active military could be deployed within 30 days. So these are things that are going on, and there is requests for funding for our military, a 40% increase in funding. And there's these things that are going on, and we don't know where they will end up. But speaking of the funding that is being requested, we had earlier this year, we had those 87,000 new IRS agents that were requested and agreed to. 87,000 new IRS agents. Why? Well, to collect taxes, of course. So what, did they anticipate a war before that was approved? We are just pondering and trying to figure out what all this means, and is there a plan that we don't know about, but somebody else did, and they're making all these things work out together. Now, we do know that we have an enemy, and that enemy is Satan, and he appears to want to take down the United States. Well, really all the countries of the world, but especially the United States, because it was formed on godly principles. So there's a lot of good that the United States does in the world, but the United States is changing too. And I hope we do go back to applying godly principles to our life, because we do have a godly heritage. But we have to remember it and stand up for God as best we know how. Well, therefore, I do wonder what is in store for us. And I think about, Ezekiel 14:13, because, and then I could say Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. See, there's a theme that is going on in the Bible if the country or if the land is not following a godly way, then there are some things that happen, like famine and pestilence and earthquakes and war. This is a Bible theme. Sure, I just said Ezekiel, but also in Matthew, Mark, and Luke and other books of the Bible too. So it can certainly happen. We could have war here just like other countries of the world have war, like Ukraine has war. And there is a reason for it to happen. Yes, a worldly reason, and yes, a spiritual reason. And we can look at what happens in a time of war, like in Ukraine. The farming stops. It's not in its normal state of agriculture, and so it brings starvation. It brings famine to a land, and I know that that can happen here. Will it? It's a question I really don't know the answer for, but I could see it. So what should we do? I think we can all have our little warehouse or storehouse of food and have our own personal supply so that we do not suffer the kind of starvation that has happened all over the world. Now, maybe nobody will agree with me, but at least I can speak about it and say that it has happened, and therefore we can expect it to happen again. Of course, we all have a different view, and that's good and fine, and we do what we understand us to do. That's what we have our freedom for, and our intellect to discuss or understand what is right and proper. It's not like there's one answer all the time. Sometimes there are several. But let's do what we know the best to do. Well, there was something that came up about this patent, and it's by Pfizer. Patent number 11107588B2. Now, I give you the number because I hope everybody looks it up. Now, I looked it up and read about 30 or 40 pages of it, and there's something going on, and we can discuss what it is, we can disagree with what it is, and try to figure it out. But there is something going on with that patent, and I want to talk about it. Well, I do have to say that everyone knows something is going on with the vaccine and the questions that are brought up because of it. So this patent raises a little different question, but it's right in there with a big, serious question. And I hope that you look up the original report yourself and search out the information, because everybody can have an opinion on everything, but if you read the information yourself, you will get a better idea of what that Pfizer patent 11107588B2, what it is about. It was granted to Pfizer in August 2021. It has to do with cell tower communications with graphene injected humans around the world that will connect people to the Internet of Things by pulsing microwave frequencies of 2.4 gigahertz or higher from the cell phone towers and satellites. That is what this patent is about. And it is directly tied to graphene oxide that is held in the fatty tissues of all persons who have had the COVID-19 vaccination. And this continues that the system for anonymously selecting subjects for treatment against an infectious disease. And continuing, it is about connecting the electronic devices to generate information and identification of those who both have been vaccinated and who might have that COVID-19. Now, the subjects we are all subjects if we've been vaccinated, and there is something about transmitting the pathogen based on the score of a subject person. And so this patent continues that they want to identify each subject by the smart electronic device around them, you know, in the proximity of the person. And that is based on the closeness of the population to the electronic devices and to other people. So, do you have a smart electronic device? That just might be communicating with that communication tower. Well, that is what this patent is about. Now, you look it up yourself. I hope you do. Again, it is Pfizer patent 111075-88B2. And that was dated August 31st, 2021. So, wow, and what is going on? What is going on anyway? Is it a correct analysis that the patent does, or that I have done to speak about it? It's a mystery, because sometimes things change. But this is clearly the intent that somebody had, and it is good for you to look at it yourself. That way you can say, I read the information myself. And you don't have to say, a guy on the radio said such and such about the patent. No. Look it over yourself and try to understand what is going on here. I also think you can look at the Fauci emails that Judicial Watch received and then published. I think that was on April 20th of 2023. And it shows that there is a lot of things going on that are hidden from us. We don't see them. They are hidden from us. And we can see that there could be a dangerous plan in the works. It would not be good for us to have all these things happening, but I ask you to look for yourself to see what is actually going on. It's, in a way, it's a mystery, but we can still have an idea of what is going on. And we can search out how we can protect ourselves from what appears to be a secret plan. Probably an evil plan even. But you please look for yourself and try to figure out what could be going on so that you don't have the consequences of being a part of this kind of a plan. Now, in the years 2020 and 2021, there were doctors and researchers who were trying to figure out some critical questions about the vaccine. And yes, there were some interesting discoveries at that time. For instance, that one of the a big ingredient of the vaccine was graphene oxide. People were trying to understand the properties of graphene oxide and why it was in the vaccine. So there's a lot to figure out, and we don't know if, like this patent would suggest, if it was done for communications, or there are people who at that time were saying that this vaccine did something to people's fertility so that they were unable to conceive. It was a question that was raised at the time. I don't know what it is today, but I know at the time there were nurses who were saying, I'm not going to get that vaccine because I want to have a family still. So what the truth of the matter is, I can't say I know. I can only tell you these are some of the questions, and we can be aware of it because they're questions. And there were no long-term studies about the effects of the vaccine on people. Not definitive studies, anyway, but we have heard the stories of healthy people, like airline pilots and professional athletes, that suddenly dropped dead. And that is something that's a matter of record, and we can know it. And we can realize that there just might be something going on with all of this. And so many of us have trusted Well, trusted people involved with it, like our personal physician, or we trusted our government to say we needed something, or our employee. I'm sorry, not employee, but our employer. We trusted our employer to determine that we needed the vaccine to continue our job. So that's something which we certainly want to be aware of, the trust matters going on, and is it a wise thing to have trusted the government and the employers? Good question. I know there's doctors nowadays who are saying the autopsies of people who've died have shown that there was some kind of a long growth in the blood circulatory people of people who died. We know that there were heart problems from myocardial infarction, also called myocarditis. So we know there have been problems, and there have been problems with excess deaths. And if you want to hear about the excess deaths, Dr. John Campbell on YouTube is a person who discusses that. So we do what we can to understand all the things that are going on around us, and we make the best decisions that we know how. That Dr. John Campbell talks about excess deaths, which mean people who have died more than normal, and it seems like there's about 10% more people that have died, and they don't know why else it would be except that the vaccine was introduced about that time. So we get to figure it out and see what we can understand. Most people don't look and don't figure it out, and they don't think that 10% more deaths is enough to be concerned about. But we all have a different opinion, don't we? And I get to see it and tell you about it. A lot of people say, well, we have to all die sometime, so no problem here. I know that, it was Google who said that there were 230 million people in the USA who received the COVID-19 vaccine. And we don't know what the long-term effects are. And that's why I talk about these couple of things, because, well, life is uncertain. And we know that there is a spiritual battle going on between Satan and God for the souls of men. So basically, this is a battle going on, and life and death make a difference for the kind of life that we have. It can make a difference for if we choose heaven or hell, too. You choose Jesus or the ways of the world. Well, we all have that choice, and I hope you look into the evidence to understand your choice in the matter of do you choose heaven or do you choose hell, and how are you going to live your choice. Well, you might talk to a pastor about that, or you might read the New Testament. You know, the New Testament is not very long. It's just like 250 pages. And that will help you understand all these things about the choices you make in life. So I hope you do read and believe the New Testament. It's well worth reading. So I know that there are people who have found Jesus and the Bible to be essential to their life. And there are people who've read that and they say, oh, I don't need the Bible and I don't need Jesus. But I think of the people who have had their lives changed by reading the Bible. And so I say, have a good look at the Bible. Maybe talk to a pastor. That's another good thing to do. But make a choice before you are on your deathbed. It's a good idea to have these things figured out first. I know I just was thinking of there was a country, Romania, Well, I'm pretty sure it was Romania, and they did not have a national health department. So there was the head of the university medical department, and the government called on her to give the vaccine injections to various people. And she spoke English, and this was on an interview, which I listened to once, but I can't find it again. Maybe you know where it is. And she said that she received the vials of vaccine labeled 1 through 5, and it had the instructions that the vials labeled 1 were to be given to heads of government and institutional figures, and the people who were government heads or bankers and such as that, they would get the vial labeled with a 2, and the other people would get the 3, 4, 5 vaccines. So we kind of wonder why it seems that some people have more reaction to the vaccine than others. And there's not studies on all this, but there is stories. And so we listen to what's going on with people. I remember right in that early time when the vaccine was just coming out, there was a French doctor who was interviewed, and the interview was transcribed, so you could hear him speaking in French, but you had to read what he said in English. But he spoke about sending a vial of the vaccine to a lab and finding out that it contained graphene oxide. And he wondered about that, and it just means there are questions that we do not understand, and that's why I'm saying this. Things we just don't understand about what we're getting involved with. There's a lot of mysteries that we have and we just don't understand with government, with science, with medicine, all of it. But when there's these things that happen with a vaccine, it just makes it so obvious that we are trying to understand, but there is not enough information. And I know plenty of people I know, or even in my family, for instance, in the medical area where they worked, they wanted their jobs, and so they took the vaccine. That's what so many people did. They trusted the government to say you need the vaccine, or their employer to say you need the vaccine, and so they took it. But there are questions, and we are trying to understand what this all means. There's always questions, and science does not stay stable. There's the questions with a vaccine that are changing, a little bit at least, maybe a lot. And science always changes. Oh, for instance, I remember when there used to be a question of if people should be in the sunlight or if they should wear sunblock. Well, that was everybody seemed to be wearing sunblock. 20 years ago, something like that. But now it is said that people need vitamin D, and the best source of vitamin D is from the sun. They're finding that people with dementia have a lack of vitamin D. And so there is a recommendation that people have 20 or 30 minutes of sun every day. I just bring this up to say people and science and opinions, they all change. So don't be surprised if this COVID vaccine question also changes. We can have a lot of discussion. We can have disagreements about the COVID-19 vaccine or even how it is transferred from person to person. Oh, that was a big issue too. A lot of people questioned if vaccinated people could transfer the virus to unvaccinated people. Through what are those exosomes, and so the scientists said that, yes, it could be transferred by the mRNA gene products through the spike proteins through the exochromes. So there's questions, there's studies all over the place, studies in Europe, studies in Japan, and a few in America too, that talk about that. They talk about spike proteins and how they spread. Don't think the science is settled, because there are lots of answers that one group of scientists find out, or researchers find out something else. And we always have to be cautious about the government or the scientists who say, trust me, I know what I'm doing, and you should do what I say. Well, I think of, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And that means I will trust the immune system which God gave me. And I will at least question what science wants to give me. I can't say that I trust science. If you do, well, then we will have a different opinion. And I think of the words of Esther in Esther 4:16, which is, if I perish, I perish. And I guess that's kind of a wide subject now, because if you take the vaccine or if you don't, you are subject to perishing. And it's a matter of opinion, I think. Well, another opinion that was going on for a while was that there should be isolation camps. And that was an idea that, some of those scientists said, it's a biblical idea. We're not doing anything strange. Well, that's kind of true, because in Leviticus 13, the people with leprosy were to be isolated. And you go back to the Middle Ages, and you have people who had the Black Plague, and they were isolated from the rest of society also. So there are reasons to say isolation is good. Is it biblical? You can make that argument. But there are people who also thought people should be isolated due to smallpox or due to cholera. And maybe that's true. Maybe. But we surely would be a good idea to try to look at this through logic and even science, and try to figure what the answers are for who should be isolated with COVID-19 or with smallpox or with cholera. Good questions. But the most important question is heaven and hell. And that's something we always have to look at to live faithfully to Jesus. And these are questions that have always been, how do I live faithful to God through Jesus Christ? And what's the good news of the Bible about? Well, all these things are good and reasonable to consider. And we want to look at that one about God and Jesus and our faith and living for God before we have a crisis in life and we are on the edge of death. Let's look at that as soon as we can and decide if we are going to be in the world or if we're going to be living for God Jesus. Well, as we go through life, we take so many things for granted. We take for granted that our bodies will heal, God will heal us, and we do want to be thankful for the healing that we have and for people praying for us. And of course, I mean for me too. I'm thankful for the people who have prayed for me. I have had amazing progress, and I'm so thankful for, yes, the progress through Jesus Christ and the people who have prayed for me. Just so thankful. So may God bless you, those who have prayed. Yes, indeed. And we pray for all sorts of things, for mercy, for protection from war and famine. And again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about famine and pestilence and war. So yes, we need some protection, but we also know they're going to be coming into the world, and earthquakes too. So we see what some of the countries are doing. They are storing up their grains, and China's doing that. They're storing up with drones and ammunition to maybe to send to another country like Russia, and maybe to make war, like perhaps China is getting ready to do over Taiwan. There are conflicts that are on the edge of happening, and we would do well to try to understand our position in what we do. And to me, it starts with food, because if we don't have food, we are not going to be doing much activity to preserve our life anywhere, either here in America or in another country that we are at war with. We need food, and we need to be healthy and stay healthy. I know that there's things that are going on that make questions about if we will be getting into a conflict or not. And you look and see, oh, here's one. There was one, $800 million worth of property was bought right next to the Travis Air Force Base in California. Now, if you listen to the FBI, you hear that they don't know who the owners really are. I don't see how that's possible. But there is a question of who the investors are in the company that bought $800 million worth of property right next to Travis Air Force Base. Sure, I'm sure they knew who they are, but it certainly is not being made public. And we do have threats of war against this country by China and by the United States. And we have to consider, if there was a war, what would that mean? Well, just look at Ukraine. They have such good farmland in Ukraine. But what are we doing? We are supporting the war by sending them billions of dollars in war materials. And the country is not able to farm very well with a war going on, that's for sure. And what about America? If America is going to have a conflict, whether it's a war or whether there is a civil conflict, which that's a lot of people are predicting that also. There are people who are saying another civil war will come to America. Now, I don't mean I know that. I just say that that's what more than a few people are talking about. So I know it could happen. It doesn't mean I'm suggesting it, but I'm telling you that it's a possibility based on the number of people that say it. Well, we in America still do have plenty of concerns about our future and what's going on. Sure, I reviewed a few of them with that Pfizer vaccine as one. And then there's another concern that is kind of a consistent concern that comes along with our electrical grid and if it was going to fail based on an EMP or a CME, coronal mass ejection from the sun, or an EMP, electromagnetic pulse weapon, like a nuclear bomb. And these could cause our electrical service to fail, and we would have no electricity. That would mean we would have no computers, we would have no way of getting information, we would have no way of getting money from our banking system, and so or food. We couldn't buy food because the lines would not be working. The computer connections would not be working. The credit card connections, none of that would work. So we are concerned about there being a electrical grid failure. And that's why I just brought up the Congressional EMP Committee with Dr. Peter Pry. Look up Peter Pry. He has passed a few years ago, but he did some phenomenal work about the dangers that our electrical grid could face in a short amount of time. Well, we have things going on. Do you feel the need to prepare? Do you feel like you have everything you would need if the grid went down for months or years? See, that's the question, because the grid could go down for a few months, and the grid could go down for a few years. And it would be such a difficult time, a great tragedy. And how do we get through that period of time? Would not be easy. Are you able to take care of yourself starting from nothing? Well, that would mean farming, and that would mean staying warm at night, too. It would not be an easy thing. And of course, there's a question of, are you going to be protected if the society fails? Who would protect anybody? Good question. What are you doing to prepare to live independently if that were to happen? And there's so many people that have brought up this problem. I don't think it's an unusual thing to consider if you look at the number of people who have talked about it being a concern. So yes, please look that up. Of course, there's always things that we will want to have with us if we did have a grid down event. And I think the answer to what you would do has to do with what you were doing if you were going on a camping trip. You would want to have a backpack with several things in it, which would be including first aid, a food, water purified, water cleaner, which could mean simply boiling the water, or it could mean a filter device. Now, I know there's lots of people who have this thing called a straw, survival straw, and you suck the water up. And yeah, that's true, but it sure is not easy to get a glass of water through a straw. So I certainly would suggest a larger water cleaner or purifier, whatever it is. But if that's your concern, then yes, have one of those. There are questions about what you would want to have if the systems failed. And we have our own choices for what it would be. And everybody has their own ideas about what to carry with them. And it could be, I think flashlights are important. I think a knife is important. A cup to drink water with. A cup to prepare food with. So there are things that just are good for everybody to have available, maybe in a backpack, maybe in a belt pack. And the first aid items are also important. I just think of that very basic first aid, like medical tape and gauze and ointment. I like tweezers. I like a Swiss Army knife with scissors. And for anything else like that, I should just say that I could send you my little list if you want that. Send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. But there are things that are just good to have in your pockets or in your purse. And some people will include Advil or Tylenol or anti-diarrheal or an antihistamine. It's all a matter of what you can see that you would want to have or might need. And it depends on your whole situation. It can be a very, very small first aid kit or carry-along kit, or it can be larger, especially if you're with a bunch of kids. Children seem to have things happening, which might just be tripping and having a skinned knee or elbow. So all those things are good. But, speaking about children, I like to have burn ointment also, because if you have a campfire and you have a person with a burn, that just disables a person very quickly, either adult or child. So I like to have a burn ointment with me also. Now you can get a little packet of burn ointment, and that's really all you need. You don't need a tube of 2 ounces of burn ointment, You might want that, but all you need is that little bit, because most burns are small, and somehow we just have to figure out what it is that we are anticipating. And that's what we do. We figure out what are we anticipating, and then we're having some things for it. Oh, like the flashlight. I like a little teeny flashlight. I don't need much light, but a flashlight is really nice. You can have a very dull flashlight. You can have a very bright flashlight. We have choices, and we also have choices if we carry extra batteries. How much light do we want? This is a matter of everyone has an opinion. So please look at what your opinion is and then figure out how to fix it. The water is good for cleaning out a wound also. Always good to have a little bit of something. You have people who would say get peroxide for a wound. That's not recommended anymore, but it still is something a lot of people like very well. The point is write down what it is you would like and see what you can fit into your carry kit or your backpack or whatever it turns out to be. Have something. When people are in pain, a little bit of help goes a long ways, whether it's a child or an adult. Whether you are securing an arm or a leg or something with an ACE bandage. There are always things that you can have just a little bit of, and it makes a great big difference. So yes, please look at that. Helping people is something we want to do, and if there is a big event, which we can only guess what it would be, lights out, the grid down? Sure, that could happen. The banks could close. That's another thing. And then we couldn't go shopping anymore. There's just a number of things. We could have riots in a city. We could have food shortages. And there are just reasons to have a few things with us for the just in case. It does not take much, but a little bit goes a long way, especially when we have people we love with us, especially children. So look at that. Look at your relation with Jesus Christ and know that with Jesus, you are forgiven. You confess and change your behavior, what you need to change, and you live according to God's will and God's way. Sometimes it's a real big change, and sometimes it's a minor adjustment, but the thing is how are we showing that we are followers of Jesus Christ? Well, I say pray about it and read the Bible, because the Bible tells you. You might have a conversation with a pastor. That's another good thing to do. So I say read that Bible. It's a good book. And we do want to stay alive for whatever is coming so that we can show our love for other people and give thanks and worship to our Lord God Jesus Christ. We are thankful for the gifts of God through Jesus Christ, and that means we show our love by following or doing His will. I'm always glad for you to listen to this broadcast also. Thank you for listening today. And you can listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. And there are several places that come up. So look for the one that says with John Stephenson. That's how you know you'll get this one. And then the date that you want to hear. I think I will just say that I have not been getting very many donations for quite a few months now. There have been a few that come in, and I'm very thankful for them, and I'm very thankful for the people who have donated in the past. It makes things work out. So if you have either a question or a donation or something, I certainly appreciate it, especially since right now I have had a few months of very little response, and I'm just wondering how many people actually like the broadcast. And this is a question that I have been having. So I hope that maybe you have a question or say that you like to hear the broadcast or something like that. And I do ask God to bless each and every one who listens, and pray to that you will seek to live godly through Jesus Christ. I know there's a lot of people that love each one of us, and we want to give our love back to the people and back to Jesus Christ and give service to God and worship to God, and that's what we do. So thank you for listening, and as I said, if you have something to write me about, that would be great. John Stephenson at P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And always listen to any past broadcast you would like by going to www.christtoday.org, and that is all lowercase. And I certainly pray for God to bless each and every one, and to have that you have discernment, especially for the things that are questions, like I brought up today. There are questions that we have to seek how to live and how to understand, or if there will be difficulties in the future and how we can prepare for them, whether it's a grid down event, a civil or national war, or an earthquake, or systems collapsing. It's something which we can have a lot of challenges with, especially as we are seeming to turn away from God in our society. So please, you search for how you can follow God, and then figure that there can be events that happen, and you want to be able to rely on your food and supplies to get yourself through a hard time, as you provide for all aspects of life for you and the people you love. Well, God bless you. Again, thank you for listening. And pray in Jesus' name. Always, if you possibly can. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.